Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're getting an update from Calibre Mining. Traded on the TSX under the symbol CXB and on the OTCQX under the symbol CXBMF. We are chatting again with the Vice President of Corporate Development, Ryan King. Just to remind everybody, Calibre Mining is a mid-tier gold producer. The company has operations in Nicaragua, and those operations continue to deliver some pretty good financial results, as well as the company has a wide range of exploration targets that they are going to be attacking, I believe, this year. Ryan, let's start off quickly with just a recap of the 2021 financial results, the performance of the operations. Take us through 2021 and the growth that the company experienced in terms of operations.
Thanks very much for having me on the show again, guys. Appreciate it as always. Yeah, as you said, growth was the focus of the year. I mean, if you look at 2021, 183,000 ounces of gold produced versus a guidance of 170 to 180. So we beat on the top end of our guidance. And of course, when you look year over year, we were 136,000 in 2020. So it was a nice, significant bump in production, which led to increases in net operating cash flow of $105 million and a 47 or 48% increase in cash position year over year. And of course, as we know, the company still remains very clean balance sheet of $78.5 million in cash, no debt. So a strong balance sheet. And we look forward to 2022 as another growth year. We've got increased guidance, 180 to 190,000 ounces. And of course, on the back of the closing of the Fiore deal, we have guided 40 to 45,000 ounces out of Nevada from the Pan operation, leading to additional production, additional revenues, and we anticipate additional net operating cash flows. So another growth year for Calibre, and we're significantly investing.
Well, Ryan, it's an exciting time for the company. And for those that have missed it, we did touch on the Fiore transaction and the acquisition of those Nevada assets in our last two interviews. So people should go back and check those out if they missed them. But just let's start off focused on Nicaragua for this year. Some of the growth that you have in the pipeline as far as what areas are you going to be focused on for exploration and what areas are moving along with development?
Sure. Maybe we can just do a quick recap on some of the changes we've seen over the last 2 years. We've revised that operating strategy in Central America since acquiring the assets. And as you said, we've made new discoveries. We've been very successful permitting new deposits. And really key highlight here is we've grown reserves 250% since we acquired the assets after production depletion. So, you know, I think I should pause there for a second, almost for dramatic effect, because that's a pretty significant change. In 2019, when we acquired the assets, there was about 280,000 ounces of reserves. Now, at 1 million ounces of reserves, that's the highest reserve base these assets have seen in over 12 years. It is record grade consolidated at 4.6 grams per ton gold for reserves. So I think that really leads to us being really focused on the assets, putting money, significant capital back, reinvestment back into the business for sustainable, predictable, confident, long-term business and sustainable production. And so with that, we actually now anticipate and expect a grade-driven production increase in 2023 and in 2024, driven by some of our new ore sources, but largely driven by higher grades. And so what that foreshadows is that our volumes mined will be the same. However, grade will increase, leading to higher production and lower overall per ounce costs. So I'm pretty excited about the future in front of us. And then at the same time, we still have 1 million tons of surplus capacity to process additional sources into Libertad. And so it's a pretty exciting year for us as we grow to that. And part of that development is advancing Eastern Borosi, which we're in the permitting process for now. And in 2023, we would anticipate that we would, on the second half of 2023, start mining and hauling material to our facility. And Pavón Central is another one of these growth opportunities. Its reserve grade is over 6 grams per ton gold. So almost double the reserve grade of Pavón Central, which is the current open pit deposit. And remember, we brought that on in Q1 of 2021 and gradually increased through to the target tonnage rate of 1,000 tons a day. So I anticipate similar things for Pavón Central in 2023. In addition to that, of course, we've got all the exploration activities. So in Nicaragua, we're doing about 80 to 85,000 meters. That's the initial budget anyways for drilling there. And we've got a lot of targets across the landscape, all down the western epithermal belt of Limón and Libertad. Of course, the emerging district at Pavón, which we're pretty excited about. Looks like it's got a lot of room to grow. And then equally as so as we see at Eastern Borosi, lots of opportunity for growth there. So we are drilling across all of the assets right now and reinvesting in Pavón Central in terms of early earthworks and infrastructure. And as well at Eastern Borosi as well, we're investing in some road work and early works there. So getting ready for an exciting year ahead, as well as a growth year ahead this year and in 2023 and 2024.
So to dive into some of these numbers that Ryan outlined, you can go to the February 23rd news releases. Two news releases there. Ryan, I want a little bit more color, though, in terms of with the increase in resources and reserves. Now, just coming out of Limón and Libertad, you have probable resources of just over 1 million ounces indicated, which includes probable of 1.8 million ounces and inferred 900,000 ounces. So this is a massive growth in terms of the overall resources. Does this change your mining strategy then, still with the concept that you still have Pavón as additional feed here?
Yeah, it doesn't change our strategy. Our strategy has always been to convert lower category resources to reserves, and we've been successful at doing that, as evidenced by the release you've mentioned. But it just provides additional levels of clarity and confidence and predictability in our guidances going forward. So it just, you know, again, you know, 170 to 180 in 2021, we were able to exceed that. In 2022, we're now 180 to 190 in terms of the production guidance. So it provides better levels of models, mine grade resource models and block models. And it just affords us now a platform from which we can grow from. And it allows us now to step out further afield, look at new opportunities. For example, you know, we've got a very large concession called Buena Vista. It is right adjacent to the Limón concessions. Limón has produced over 3.6 million ounces of gold historically. And again, you know, we see large potential on that property. And then adjacent, Buena Vista has never been drilled. It's a new concession of multiple low sulfidation epithermal vein targets on it. And it's over 250 square kilometers. So we see really good potential to reload the project pipeline, looking for analogous type deposits. And we see those all the way down the western epithermal belt. And so, yeah, no, we're very excited about the potential. But in terms of how we mine and our approach, not changing too much, yet at the same time, we still have the surplus capacity. One of the areas I'll touch on that I'm quite excited about for 2022 is our drilling near our Libertad mill. And so we've identified two new zones. In fact, discoveries were made there in 2021 that particularly at our Volcan deposit that didn't make it into resource category because it was too late in the year. Therefore, this presents a very attractive opportunity. It's less than 5 kilometers from the mill. It starts at surface. And we've had results ranging from 15 grams per ton gold over 5 meters, 11 grams over 5 meters. So this looks like another low sulfidation epithermal vein system. And in fact, where the geologists are actually drawing some analogies to the previously producing open pit Mahon deposit on the property, which was the driver to build the Libertad mill. Mahon was well over 600,000 ounces of gold that was mined out of there. So, yeah, no, very excited about the opportunities in front of us.
Well, Ryan, yeah, some of those near targets to the Libertad mill, like Volcan, Tranca, Rosaria, have shown some big promise. They're near surface, like you said, high grade, low sulfidation. Just to give people a feel for the balance of where the production is coming from now and where it could grow with some of these new deposits, you have both underground mining going on and you have open pit mining. I'm assuming most of these targets you're looking at are going to be other open pits, but could you just share the balance between the open pit mining you have now and the underground and where that may grow?
Yeah, so current open pits and the driving open pit is at Limon. So Limon is a very large, high grade. I think the average grade of reserves there are between 4 and 4.2 grams per ton gold open pit deposit that feeds into the Limon mill. That's the primary source that goes into the Limon mill, which is, it's a smaller mill. It's 500,000 tons of annual capacity. So that mill gets fully utilized. And then with excess material, we put in a truck and we haul over to Libertad, because Libertad is a 2.2 million ton per annum capacity mill. And currently this year, we're budgeting between 1 and 1.3 million tons will go through that mill. And one of the sources is the Limon open pit. Another source is the Limon undergrounds. We've got some higher grade underground deposits, Veda Nueva, Panteon, which was discovered in 2020, and Atravesada, which will come on in the second half of this year, that will be put in the truck and hauled over to Libertad. And then at Libertad, we've got one underground mine, and then we've got the Pavon open pits that feed into the Libertad mill, which, you know, we'll see between 110 and 130,000 ounces get produced out of the Libertad mill. However, that means we have over a million tons of excess or surplus milling capacity at that mill. So there's a real opportunity for growth when you look at Libertad, particularly when we see Eastern Borosi being the next satellite deposit, and we just posted over 200,000 ounces of reserves, and I think at about an average grade of over 6 grams per ton gold. And some of those would be, so the initial would be open pit and secondary would be underground. So there's a multitude of different types of mines that feed into the two processing facilities. But at the same time, we're only still utilizing a portion of the overall capacity of that Libertad mill. So exploration success along the way could lead to additional processing, which would lead to additional production growth. And I think that's very viable if we look at the exploration targets and zones we've already discovered.
So, Ryan, with all these targets, and it sounds like a lot of the ones that you guys are encouraged for are higher grade targets, even though you guys are mining at a pretty decent grade right now. But then balancing that out with the excess capacity that you could be mining at, what's the focus going to be? Is it simply growing production here, utilizing more of that mill, or is it running through some higher grade material, or at least finding some higher grade satellite deposits?
Well, it really is a multi-pronged approach, but our focus is production with a margin, and it always has been. You know, if we go back to 2019, one of the first things that we did, and our CEO, Darren Hall, who again, 25 years at Newmont, has a real critical perspective on mining, looking at things differently. How can we do things differently that can unlock value? And what we did at Libertad was we idled out one of the ball mills. So you're processing less material, but you're focusing on the material that goes into the plant so you can have better margins. And that's what we did. We idled one of those ball mills, and that's still currently idle. And we're saving by doing that and not running lower grade, more voluminous material through the mill. We're saving $400,000 or $500,000 a month. And so when it makes sense to turn it back on, see the increased production with that margin, that will make sense for us. But it, you know, again, if you look back, you know, so I think 2024, the average grade milled was about, on a consolidated basis, was about 2.4 grams gold, or maybe even a bit less. 2020, the average grade milled was 2.7. 2021, the average grade milled was 3.2. So you're seeing this steady trend of grade-driven increases year over year. And our reserve grade is 4.6 grams per ton gold. That means that over time and sequencing and new ore sources that are coming online that we've brought into reserve category are higher grade material. So we should anticipate and expect the grades to increase going forward. And that means similar volumes, higher grades, lower costs, better margins. And this is Darren Hall's architect behind all of this that's put us in this position to generate these operating cash flows that have afforded us the ability to generate enough cash to reinvest in mine development, exploration, and now add a new asset to the portfolio, which is in Nevada, which allows us to reinvest into exploration there, mine development there, and looking at optimization opportunities at the Pan Mine, which produces 40 to 45,000 ounces. And we're significantly investing in exploration there this year because of the limited exploration work that has been done over the last 3-4 years.
Well, Ryan, let's just touch on that briefly in Nevada as we wrap up. What is the main focus there at not just the Pan Mine and expanding the resources, but also at the near-term development project Gold Rock? And I don't know if Illipel will get any, but what is the Nevada plan for 2022?
So recognizing that the operators and team down in Nevada have done a really good job, right? They've brought Pan online in 2017. They've steadily increased production almost year over year. It is a smaller, lower grade heap leach asset in Nevada, but from what we recognized was a very rich geological setting and a great opportunity for discovery and expansion of resources on, you know, initially from our view at the Pan operation. And where the largest impact we've identified, where the largest impact can be, is ramping up drilling at Pan. And if we look at the last 3-4 years, the average annual spend has been between $1 and $1.5 million of drilling at Pan. So this year, we're going to significantly ratchet that up. And I think our budget this year is between $8 and $10 million with multi-rig drilling across that property, the north pit, all the way along the Branham Fault down to the south pit and a couple of distal targets, as well as new targets that have never been drilled. So our focus will be resource conversion and resource expansion in and around the mine. And then it'll be stepping out to targets that have very good geochemical anomalies on them and have never been drilled. So I'm pretty excited about that opportunity. I mean, it is analogous to Nicaragua for us in Q4 2019. Look what we've done over the last 2 years in Central America. Now we're going to apply that to Nevada, and hopefully we're going to have the same kind of success we've had in Central America. This time around, it's going to be focused on drilling because of the targets that are presented in the limited drill budget that has happened over the last couple of years. But yeah, I think there's some really good opportunities there. And then that would lead to optimization, potential optimization beyond this year, because we really need to spend this year understanding what the scope and scale is with the drill bit. Once we have that, we can make some data-driven decisions. Okay, we could look at owner-operated. We could look at conveyor stacking that could reduce costs. We could look at secondary crushing that could liberate some more recoveries. So there's a lot of different opportunities that I think could optimize this once we understand this full year of drilling at Pan particularly. But so we recognize there's some good potential there. And equally so at the Gold Rock project, as you say, near-term development stage project, we want to understand that a little better. So we're doing about 35 kilometers of drilling there this year. We'll be doing additional metallurgical testing. We'll be doing some geotechnical work. And then at the same time, slowly advancing or methodically advancing state permitting with the team there and the state there. So, yeah, we want to advance things along, but we want to really understand the deposits, get updated geological models and resource models, and understand the metallurgy and all of the different elements of the project before making any sort of quick decisions. Because we've seen, as you've seen, all of us seen what happens with some of these development stage projects and inflation. So could be just something for us to be really cognizant of and methodically advance.
Okay, Ryan, thank you for this update and the recap of last year. Last year, another good growth year for the company. And this year, sounds like a lot of, in a way, almost new exploration undertaken as well, now that you even have a bigger resource base. So you guys are doing a lot of good work here, moving multiple projects forward and continuing to increase production. If anybody has any follow-up questions for Ryan, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or chat@kereport.com, and we will get those answered for you. Ryan, thanks again for your time, and we'll chat again on the back of some more news.
Thanks very much, guys. Stay well. Take care.